Okay. Welcome everyone to a webinar, a very special event that we have planned for you today. My name is Daniel Hall, and with me I have a very special guest, John Kramer, who is one of the guys that I look up to when it comes to marketing the books. John has had a very successful career with book marketing, and I'm very honored, in fact, to have him on this webinar. The title of our presentation today is Real Fast Book Production and Real Fast Book Marketing. The way it's going to shake out this afternoon is I'm going to start with the Real Fast Book Production, and I'm going to then turn it over to John for the Real Fast Book Marketing portion of it. So that's kind of how we're going to go through today's presentation. I am recording this, and hopefully, if we don't have any snags this time, we'll have a replay for you. By the way, if you're just joining us, and you want to invite people on to this webinar, if you want to go to Facebook right now or to your Twitter followers and type in that you are on this great webinar that we have planned for you today, and send folks to realfastbook.com/John K. John, like in John Kramer, or excuse me, yeah, Kramer, John K. So that's what you would do. Go to real send folks to www.realfastbook.com/John K. Okay. So this is sponsored today by realfastbook.com, where we show folks how to crank out high quality, highly profitable books fast, and by www.10millioneyeballs.com, teaching you how to get more exposure for your books so you could sell more of your books via the internet. With that being said, we're going to, as I said earlier, we're going to break this down into two separate sections. We're going to first talk about real fast book production strategies, and then also John's going to take it from the real fast book marketing strategy standpoint, and he's going to impart some of his wisdom. Number one, thank you so much, John, for being on this webinar today. I really, really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Daniel. This
Okay.
should be fun.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have fun. At a minimum, we're going to have fun. Okay. All right. So to get started with the Real Fast Book Production Strategies, the goal, of course, is to crank out high-quality, highly profitable books as quickly as possible, and the first thing I want you to understand is it is possible. And here's how I'm going to sort of break out what you really need to do, the sort of the requirements to accomplish this. Number one, you absolutely must write a book that people actually want to buy, okay? Very, very important first step. Second, we're going to show you how to seed your book with profit centers, and we'll talk more about that as we go along. And then I'm going to discuss how to go about using some fast book writing techniques to actually get that book out and into the stream of commerce. And then last, I'm going to show you how to publish with a print-on-demand publisher. So let's get started with that right now. The first thing we need to do is we need to write a desirable book, okay? Oh, by the way, if you haven't already opened up a word processing program or some way to take some notes, then I suggest you do that now because I'm going to be giving you a ton of very specific content for you to use. I've designed it so it's immediately actionable and immediately usable. All right, so the very first step in the process is, of course, doing your market research before you write, okay? Before you write, because lots of times we come up, at least for me, I come up with great ideas, what I think are great ideas for books, and then when I actually do this step, I find out that it's not such a great idea after all. And so what we're going to be doing with this section is we're going to be using a keyword research tool And I'm going to show you how, in fact, to use that keyword research tool to make sure, or let's put it this way, stack the odds in your favor of actually writing a book that people actually want to buy. Okay, so the first step is to go to Google and then search for SEO book. And I have this long, kind of ugly URL here for you if you want to write that down. I believe that, John, you also have a list of keyword research tools that are free to use on your site. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's right, at bookmarket.com/keywords.htm.
There you go. Okay, so that might be even a faster way to get to it. And I believe you have this one that I'm going to show folks on there as well. But the other thing is, once you have got to this particular keyword research tool, this is the one I use, so it's the one I teach. The first thing you're going to want to do is look for possible topics in your niche that are getting searched on Google. And here's a screenshot of one of the keyword research tools, one of the keywords that I personally am interested in, okay? And what I want to show you here is that here's where you would type it in, by the way, okay? That's where you type in your search term. Say you're wanting to do a book or thinking about doing a book on some aspect in New Orleans. And so I plug that in here at SEO Tools, and I actually found that there's a lot of keyword research tools. By the way, this list will go on and on and on, okay, with keywords in them. But what I was really interested in here is this one right here, Battle of New Orleans, because a couple things I want to tell you about about keywords when you're actually doing your research. You see how this has actually four words in it, a Battle of New Orleans. That is actually a long tail keyword search or long tail keyword phrase. Okay, and the rule of thumb is that as folks type longer keyword phrases, the more serious they are about getting the information that they're typing about. Okay, which makes sense, right? So. That's the first thing as you do your keyword research. Look for long-tail keywords in the exact order that you see them in, okay? Battle of New Orleans, okay? And no other, because this is exactly what people are searching for within your niche, okay? So, and as you do this, check out how many times per day that particular keyword research tool is being searched. And in this case, look how many daily, see this is a daily estimate of how many searches this keyword phrase is being searched. So that's a lot of keyword research that's a lot of searches for this particular keyword phrase. That is indicative of a potential for a really interested market for this information. In other words, information on the Battle of New Orleans, and we know that because again, this has more than three or more words over here. Okay, so that's really the first step in figuring out whether or not you have a viable niche within your knowledge base, okay? Because ostensibly, you want to write a book about some area of your expertise, okay? And the goal that I'm trying to teach you here is that you want to drill down and focus only on those areas that have some commercial viability that people are actually interested in, and this is one of the ways that we do that. Okay. The next thing is, once you have got your potential keywords and sort of understood that there's a lot of people on Google searching for your keyword phrase, the next thing you want to do is you want to make sure that your book is seeded or salted, is another word, with profit centers. Okay, so you want to actually place profit centers in your book. And the main idea here is that I want you to think of parts, not all necessarily, but parts of your books as an advertorial. Okay, so it's sort of a editorial with an advertising slant. Okay, and you want to talk about things like perhaps worthwhile membership sites. You want to talk about your products. You want to talk about your services. You want to talk about you know, things like even your consulting or coaching practice. Okay. Also, you can actually do some affiliate marketing within your books by selling other people's products and services through their affiliate links. Then have those coded with 800 numbers. Okay. And by the way, you can, depending on what shopping cart service you're using, you could actually put coupon codes within your book that are only available for those folks reading the book. Okay, so you know where your orders are coming from with regard to this. Now, a couple of caveats here. When you're seeding your book with some affiliate products, okay, you absolutely must know that whatever products you are recommending, that you absolutely believe in and know will solve the problem or deliver on the promises of the product, okay? Because there's nothing worse than to get folks into your funnel and then you give them some bad information, they buy the product, and it's, you know, it's not a very good product, and it reflects negatively on you. So that's my big caveat for that. Now, the other thing I wanted to say about this is as well is that if you're going to promote like a somebody else's membership site within your book, the really cool thing about that is that when you do that, you actually build additional reoccurring revenue opportunities within your book, because most membership sites that you are promoting have a recurring aspect to it, okay? All right, so let's move on here. Now, let's talk about some of the fast writing techniques. And just to briefly review, you first have made sure that you have a viable, commercially viable topic for your book. You've picked out some things that you want to promote within your book. This is, of course, I want to make sure that I'm very clear on this. Your book is primarily about helping folks to deliver on the promises of the title of the book, okay? But if we go back here, when I say seed this book, you want to make sure that whatever you're seeding it with, okay, whatever you're recommending, also helps to deliver on the promises of the book, okay? All right, make sure we're okay. Now, so let's talk about some fast writing techniques. First off, there is the record and transcribe method of fast writing. This is actually where you sit down in front of a microphone, much the same way I'm sitting here and recording this webinar, and you record a conversation. It's usually a question and answer sort of conversation that you have with a friend, a colleague, a business partner, or whatnot. And the content of the book actually develops from that conversation. Obviously, if you're using the record and transcribe method, you want to have somebody that's asking the questions that is a pretty good interviewer. Is good on asking some follow-up questions, again, to develop the details of whatever process you're trying to communicate in your book. And then once you have that, and by the way, you could use a really good, very inexpensive, matter of fact, it's free. There's a free software called Audacity, okay? It's free to download. You go to Google and type in Audacity, and it's a perfectly good free recorder, and it'll make MP3 recordings for you. After that, you then send that off to one of the many, many, many transcription services out there, and they take the MP3 and make it into a into a document, right, that you could then edit and use as content for your book, okay? The other thing is you could do what is called mind mapping, okay? Mind mapping is really a very, very good way of organizing your book, because I find that if I have my book all organized before I actually sit down to write it, that the writing itself actually goes quickly, but the majority of my time is spent in organizing it. Well, if you use a mind mapping technique, what you do is you basically start off with a whatever you want to be your main topic, okay? Whatever that happens to be. And then you sort of get ideas on things related to this main topic. And then you start little spokes that come off, and that would be idea one and idea two, etc., okay, off this wheel. And you build a mind map, and then off of these subtopics, you might even do a few more subtopics, okay? And what you could do with each one of these is you can actually do like a big old file folder and put everything in from that. Articles, okay, blog posts, those things that are going to help you tell the story and help you write your book. And then once you have your mind map put together, again, very, very quickly, you will have a good basis for an outline. And as I say, once you have the outline, bada bing, it's really, really easy to write the actual book. The other thing, and by the way, John, I think you have a shoebox method of book writing that's much like this, right?
Yes, I do.
That's what I thought. And the other really quick way of putting a book together is to get other authors to actually help with chapters of the book. And that's, of course, called an anthology. And one of the best ways to get folks in your market niche to contribute a chapter is go to folks that are out and publicizing themselves. And you can quickly do that and quickly understand that there are folks in your market niche wanting to publicize themselves because they actually have some PR going out there. Like if they are doing lots of articles on article directories like eZine articles, you could do a couple really nice things with that idea, because you can see the quality of the writing, number one, and number two, you could see by what they're saying whether or not they're going to be a good fit for you before you contact them to do a chapter in your book. And by the way, when you do anthologies, I'm not suggesting that you share royalties or anything like that. It is a strictly quid pro quo. Hey, I'm going to put this put your chapter into a book. You could buy the book at cost, but there are no other royalties. Most folks will do that. I know I would do that. Okay, just because it helps to spread my message to a larger audience. Okay, but you could become the not only an author of this, but the editor of it. You can, again, get things. Get content together very, very quickly with anthologies, by putting together anthologies. The last way I wanted to talk about is the PLR starter documents. And PLR stands for Private Label Rights Documents. And there are a number of websites out there that have PLR for sale. And some of them are very, very inexpensive. And what you could do, by the way, just so that folks completely understand what PLR is it allows for you to buy rights to the document and call it your own. In fact, you could then become the author of it. It also allows you to edit it, change it, add to it, subtract from it, etc. But again, there are cases where that makes sense if you've got a really good starter document. Okay. So those are the fast writing techniques. Let's move on here, because I know we'll quickly run out of time if I keep talking. Okay. Now, the the last thing to do is once you have your book written, you actually publish the book on print on demand. My criteria is that you have that book available to go up on Amazon, okay? Also, that that not only once it's published does it go on Amazon, but it also goes into bookstores or has the potential to be ordered by bookstores and libraries and educational institutions, okay? All right. All right, some POD options available to you. This is certainly not all of them, but there's Lulu Cafe Press, and the one I personally use and recommend is createspace.com. I like that best. And I know of these three, they match all these criteria, okay? With CreateSpace, you can get your book up on Amazon for free. Or pretty much for free, and you can actually have bookstores order your book and make it available to libraries and educational institutions as well. Okay. All right. Now, the whole system that I have at Real Fast Books actually teaches this system, and if you're interested in that, just head on over to realfastbook.com, and you can sign up there for I think there's a $7 trial to kind of get you started. All right. Now, John, I'm going to turn it over to you for the Real Fast Book Marketing section of this.
Okay. Thanks, Daniel. For my section, I had some key criteria that I wanted to meet in doing it. One was that whatever you would do would be able to be done in 2 weeks or less from start to finish. The second thing is that it had to be capable of selling 100 or more books, because I don't, you know, there's a lot of things you can do in 2 weeks that don't do anything. And it must be something that a novice author can do, so that it wouldn't require a lot of expertise on your part. There were things then that I had to rule out, things that do take time, like premium or corporate sales, catalog or right sales, distribution deals, national book tours. All of those things take a lot more time to organize and put into place. So those things I ruled out because they simply take too much time. And the whole theme of this particular talk is how to do things fast, how to get something done. So one of the first things that you can do is a local book tour. And I'm hoping it gets up on the webinar soon. Daniel's handling that part of it. Okay, and those are the things I ruled out, premium sales, catalog sales, and so on. So the first thing that you can do, and you can do within 2 weeks, is a local book tour. And this is something I think almost every author should do anyway at some point, especially if you're in a bigger city. If you're in Taos, New Mexico, like I am, your local book tour takes about 5 minutes because, you know, there's only one bookstore that does bookstore events. And, you know, then beyond that, you know, I could have chosen to do some bars or cafes or the library. But it doesn't take long in a small town. But if you go into a bigger city like San Francisco or Denver or Boston, you have a wide array of just simply bookstores to sell to. And then there's also, of course, bars, cafes, other retail outlets, libraries, and so on, where you can speak and do signing events. Now, the key thing in doing a book tour is that you don't do just a signing event. You need to do an event where you get to speak or read from your book if it's a novel. And for a novel, you want to make sure that what you read is somewhere in the middle of the book, and you lead up to it, you give them a little bit of a description of what you're going to read from and what's led up to it. Then you read that passage, and then you leave them with a cliffhanger. Just as they're about to fall off of the big high mountain or something like that, and you see them falling and who lives and who dies, you don't tell them that part. You leave them with a cliffhanger.
I love it.
And the thing is that what you have to do is you have to combine it with some local PR. that means that you try to arrange an interview with the local newspaper or some of the suburban weeklies if you're in a bigger city. Hopefully a radio station or two will interview you. And also, if there's any local TV shows that do interviews, then you'd want to be featured there as well. And almost any local news station will, in a 10-hour news event, might talk about an event if you make it interesting enough. Hey, there's something coming up. So it doesn't always have to be an interview if you can write a good news release that really plays up the local angle and says what your benefit is. But you want to combine whatever appearances you have with some PR because you want to drive traffic into the bookstores or wherever else you're holding the events. Because if you do that, then the event location will love you. So if you drive people into the bookstore and you get 30 people to come to your event, the bookseller is going to love you. And your goal, of course, is to have multiple events so that you can drive traffic and sales for more books. There was an example a few years ago of one author who published with a print-on-demand publisher a novel, and he sold about 3,000 copies in the Boston area alone just doing bookstore events. Now, he obviously was a good speaker, and obviously probably was a good reader, and the novel obviously must have been good as well because you don't sell 3,000 books unless the book is good, in that shorter time. A second technique that you can use is to create a viral video. Take a video that is already going viral now and mimic it. The video has to complement your content, and within the video, you must send traffic to your website for sales. Now, there are things you can do on YouTube to locate YouTube videos that are going hot. And that's what you want to find. You want to find an up-and-coming video or just simply track a recent video that's already gotten like a million views. And you'd be surprised how many videos get a million views in their first week. It's actually quite fascinating and exciting when that happens. And your job is to look at that video and see if it complements your book in some way. Now, it works in creating a viral video. It always helps if you have a sense of humor. And then you can play with it because funny videos go viral more quickly than serious videos. So that's one thing that you want to do. And again, YouTube has within it a number of different tools to look at hot, current, or other kinds of videos. And there's also some video websites that do the same thing that allow you to pick up on hot videos. And I was going to refer you to some, but somehow, for some reason, my computer is going really slow, and I can't pick up the video information quickly enough. So I apologize for that. But a hot video, there was a video a number of years ago that was interesting. You may have seen it. Britney Spears at the VMA Awards, and she looked overweight, drunk, and anyway, so she didn't do a very good performance. And that very night, this guy, and I'm forgetting his name, did a video where he said, don't...
that was so funny.
What was that?
I said that was so funny, I remember that.
Yeah, he said, don't drag on Britney. Let her alone. Leave Britney alone. That's what it was called. Leave Britney alone. And it was so funny. I mean, it was a quick, down and dirty video where he just passionately said, you know, leave Britney alone. She's so good, you know. And it was just so out of the world, in a sense, that it was really funny to watch it happen. But the thing that was even more important, and that got like 20 million views in the next few weeks, but what was really neat was how much the other people playing off of that video got incredible number of views. So National Lampoon did a version of the video that got incredible number of views. And another comedy group did a Leave Britney Alone view. And then, one of the TV talk show hosts did something, Jimmy Kimmel did something on it. And all of those got millions of views, all piggybacking off of a video that went viral. And the key there is, you know, can you find something that would be compatible with what you're doing? I just saw a video recently with the lady on Cheers, the coach. I'm forgetting the actress' name now, but she did a video playing off of the old ads about a year or two ago, where Apple and PC were on the stage, and PC was always a bumbling idiot, and Apple was this cool young dude. And Apple always won whatever the contest was. And so she did a viral video saying that, I think it was something about the Apple iPad sucks or something like that. So she played off of it and did one of those pro and con things in the same way. So any time that you have, and you know, and this still works, any time that you have two opposing points of view in your book or one opposing point of view, I mean, you got a strongly stated position, but you can get a friend to act on the opposing position and make that opposing position look stupid and your position look really cool and hip, you have the possibility of mimicking those old Apple ads and doing it very effectively if you want to. And that can be done in a fun way and yet still be very, very serious.
And by the way, John, just so folks know, that it's really super simple to put together a very, very quick, you know, 1 or 2 minute video. The equipment I use to do that is called a Flipcam.
Right.
And they're about $110, $120, but and it's one click on, one click off, and it's very, very easy. Sorry to interrupt, but I did want to interject that.
No, that's fine. And I finally got my thing to work.
Okay, good.
But there's a website called Zoofs.com, Z-O-O-F-S.com, and it collects the top 42 YouTube videos recommended via Twitter. So this is a way of finding very quickly what are some of the up-and-coming YouTube videos that you could play with and spin off a viral video with. What you want to do is basically mimic a hot video with your content. And then send people to your website at the end of the video or even during the video. And that would be incredible. It's a really useful way. Zoofs.com.
Z-O-O-S?
F-S.
F-S. Uh-huh. Like that? There we go.
And it's a place that you can go and you can see all the different hot videos. Now, some of them are going to be music videos. There'll be a bunch of them that are hot music videos. But as you can see, there's a parrot up there. Well, you know, what is that all about? Well, you can check it out. There's a talk, you know, some people talking. There's talking heads. Looks like there's an excerpt from a TV show. Again, some more music videos. So you can look around and play around with that, play the video, and you'll get a pretty good idea of whether or not it's something you can piggyback off of. And these, again, are the top videos being recommended on Twitter and Facebook.
Right.
So you get right away, you know, what's hot. Now, if you can do something down and dirty quickly, and the thing is, with video production for viral videos, down and dirty is best. It doesn't have to be a you know, a smooth and clean and, you know, movie-ready production. It just has to get done. And then uploaded onto YouTube, especially YouTube, because that's where, you know, probably about 80% of video views are anyway. And what you need to do is piggyback off of that other video. You have to title your video very similar. So, like, Leave Britney Alone, you'd have to say, Leave Britney Alone, Please, or Leave Britney Alone, and also Leave Alone, you know, George Bush or whatever.
Right.
Whatever your video is about. I mean, Leave George Bush alone or Leave Obama alone.
Right.
You know, you could do something that could be very serious and at the same time play off of a funny video. And the neat thing about viral videos, if you piggyback off a viral video that's gotten like a million views or more, it's going to get more views. If it gets a million views in a week, it's going to get 10 million views in a month. And this happens over and over again. And what you do is, if you piggyback off of it, is that you end up getting some portion of that 9 million extra views in that month. And a viral video, of course, can go on to live for a long, long time. You know, there's the video where the guy's dancing to different rock and roll songs, and I forget the name of it now. But it was one of those things that has gotten 100 million views. And there was a guy that did a piggyback off of that one, a comedian. He did a piggyback off of it. He said, it was called something like Dance. I can't remember now. But anyhow, he did one, Dance for the Rest of Us. Evolution of Dance, that's what it was called. And he did one called Evolution of the Dance for the Rest of Us. And basically what it was him standing in front of a background similar to the Evolution of Dance video that went viral. And he was standing there drinking a beer while the music soundtrack for the previous Evolution of Dance played in his background. And all he did was stand there drinking beer. it probably took him 5 minutes to make that video. And he got millions and millions of views. Now, that worked well for him because he's a comedian. So, you know, something like that works really well when you're...
What was the name of that one?
Fun with it.
What was the name of that?
Evolution of Dance. And then the mock-up of it was called Evolution of Dance for the Rest of Us. And it was just, you know, it's just a really funny little video because basically, you know, you can see the evolution of dance. And the guy that did Evolution of Dance did a second one, which has already gotten 11 million views.
Look at that. Holy cow.
The Evolution of Dance for the Rest of Us got 3 million views.
Wow.
And, I'm actually surprised he didn't get more than that. But it was just—it was so funny because it was just him standing there listening to the, you know, the music and drinking beer. And it was great for his comedian career. It really built that up. So there's lots of different viral videos that you can play off of that you could do very, very easily. There's a neat new ad, you know, that Verizon does called There's a Map for It, where he compares Verizon services to AT&T services. Well, that's gone viral, that whole phrase. Well, if you have a geography book or a travel book, you could do There's a Map for It. You know? and you could play off of those videos, and you could show, you know, a red and blue map, and you could have fun with it and yet be very serious. You know, if you're looking for... I know that there's somebody that has a book called something like Highway... 69 or Highway 97, something like that, where he talks about all the tourist spots all the way along the highway. Well, you could do there's a map for it for that book very easily, playing off of the hot TV commercial that were being done by Verizon and you know, mimicking and teasing AT&T. And you could do the same thing with your book. So if you see an interesting television commercial that you know is being played over and over again and it's funny in some way, piggyback off of it and do something on YouTube with it.
And then also, you want to make sure that you have your link in here. You could put your link here as well as over here. So, you know, in other words, link to wherever it is you want to send folks, because people will click on it.
Yes. So you want the link in the description, and ideally you also want the link on the video itself. You can have it as a little banner down at the bottom of the video and just say, you know, www.bookmarket.com or whatever it is that you are promoting. So it's an easy thing to do. It's interesting how he titled himself, Uninspirational Sack of Shit.
Okay.
So anyway, so a viral video can be created really, really quickly if you want to do it this way. And in the 10 Million Eyeballs course, I give you about I don't know, 50 or 100 examples of people who have piggybacked off of viral videos to create incredible amount of traffic for themselves. So it's an easy thing to do. It's been done many, many times, and it can be very effective. So let's go on to number three. And this is to give your book away free on high traffic targeted websites. And it may seem kind of crazy that you could give away a book and it would help you sell more books. But the reality is a lot of authors do this, and it's been very, very effective. One of the classic examples of it was with Seth Godin when he gave away his book on creating the idea virus. And he did that and gave away like 500,000 copies. And when his book came out in hardcover, he immediately sold something like 40,000 copies in the next week because he had built up word of mouth. The reason that you give a book away free is to help to create word of mouth, because word of mouth drives book sales. 80% of all books are sold because somebody tells somebody else, you got to read this book. So you can give away part of the book or all of it. And I know many people who give away the entire book and end up selling a lot more books than if they hadn't given it away at all. This is very important for people who are first-time authors because you have no platform. If you're not a celebrity and nobody knows you, you got to give them a chance to sample your work, and the best way to do that is to give it away free. Mm-hmm. And you can do that very effectively by just simply giving it away as a PDF on high-traffic websites. You don't give it away on your website. You can give it away there also, but you have to find other high-traffic websites where the people who are your potential audience are already going. So if they're going to, let's say you have a book for women, well, two of the top women websites are iVillage.com and PopSugar.com.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is get in there and create a relationship with one of these websites where they say, yes, we'd love to give away your book because it's highly targeted to our audience of women, and we would love to give away your book. And they put up a link, they put it up on their front page, and suddenly you have thousands or hundreds of thousands of people downloading your book, and they're all going to be talking about it. And the reality is that there's still a lot of people that don't want to read an entire book on their computer. So a lot of them will sample it and then go to Amazon or to your website to buy the book.
John, I do have a question here. Would you suggest that when you go to one of these high traffic sites that you have the promotion just for a specific period of time, so it's not up there forever? It's just up there for a particular amount of time, so people know that this is going to be over soon, so you better go download it now, kind of thing.
You can do it that way. It could be that you leave it open-ended.
Okay.
It really doesn't matter. I mean, it's fine to keep it open-ended. What you might want to do, though, is make it feel like it's a limited time so that people have the pressure to, we've got to download it now. It might disappear at any moment.
Gotcha.
So you could do that with a partner website and say, how about if we give it away for the 2 weeks? And then if it goes well, we might give it away longer. But let's set a two-week limit to it and see how it goes.
Like that. Okay.
And a good high-traffic website is going to know that the more limited the content is that they give away, the more likely that a lot of people will respond quickly. It's sort of the Amazon campaign strategy for driving sales in one day.
Right.
You give it a limited amount of time, and you see that a lot with internet marketers who are doing a launch, and you gotta buy today because it might be off the market tomorrow because we're only selling 1,000 copies.
Right.
And when they're gone, they're gone.
Right. Right.
So you see that a lot, but the key thing is giving the book away. And don't be afraid to give it all away, but if you are, then give away a part of it. You could also serialize it if it's fiction, especially, where you give away one chapter a week. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of high-traffic websites that would probably go for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you want high-traffic websites, and that means websites that are ranked probably 200,000 or higher on Alexa, alexa.com, A-L-E-X-A.com.
Great.
Alexa is not a perfect tool, but it's a very good tool for getting an idea of how much traffic is going to a website.
Mm-hmm.
I know that my bookmarket.com website is rated around 95,000, and that means it's one of the 95,000 most popular websites in the world. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., it's usually in the top 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to have it be high traffic, because I know even with my bookmarket.com website that I'm getting maybe 60,000 people a month. So once you start getting higher than that, yeah, the numbers drop off and drop off and drop off. Now, if it's a highly targeted website with very little traffic, let's say that you've got a high traffic website, but I mean a highly targeted website. Let's say you have a book on crocheting for Halloween costumes, and you got a crocheting website that only gets 2,000 people a month, but those 2,000 people are buying savages. You know, they buy anything that that site mentions. Then it's still worthwhile giving away the book there. And as an alternative, you could always take your $20 paperback book and translate it into a Kindle ebook and sell it for $2 or $5 on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a nice low price to get, get people sampling the book. Because, again, the number of Kindle readers is a small portion of your audience.
Small portion.
So if you almost... It's a small portion.
Yep. Small but growing. Small but growing.
Yes. But it's a great way to, semi-give away the book and still make a little money on it. So you're still selling it, and you'll be surprised how many people that can make a difference for. You can also put your book up on some websites like Smashwords and... I'm going blank on some of the other ones, but there's a number of websites where you can put up an e-book version of your book and sell it for a few dollars or so on. And I know a couple of novelists that have gotten like 5,000 views by putting it up on one of those small websites.
Another one is youpublish.com, youpublish.
Yes, mm-hmm. And so there's a number of different places where they will take the, where you can put it up in many cases for free, so it doesn't cost you any money. And then allow you to get a lot of people viewing your page and a lot of people downloading it either for free or for a small amount of money. And that can work very, very effectively. And that's a really neat thing when that happens for somebody. And I know a number of novelists that they've worked that out that way, and it worked really effectively for them. So I encourage you to do that. I was trying to pull up in my notes a couple. I had just been reading about it the other day on my book marketing at Ning website, but right now I can't find it again. So anyway, that's one of the things that you can do. Daniel, when we do a main thing, I'm going to have to be a little bit more prepared. When we do our course on Real Fast Book Marketing, because we're going to do a course on that, so that I have all those things top of mind, because right now I don't have them top of mind. So, I'm remembering things, and I can't always tell you what it is, and there were just some good stories that people did. Okay, here's one of the cases. One person put his novel, The Ezekiel Code, on Kindle, and it's a 1995 paperback, and he sells it on Kindle for $4.95, and he sold it's netted him at a 30% rate about $500 a month simply by putting it on Kindle. That means that he's got to be selling about 300 copies a month on Kindle.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. So, that I think that's really neat. And then another website that somebody put on was scribed.com. An author, Kaylin McFerrin, put her a novel, Flaherty's Crossing, online. And it's had 8,500 subscribers and almost 5,600 reads, and that happened within 3 weeks.
Gotcha.
So, you know, those are some neat traffic numbers that, again, you can do giving things away.
Yeah.
So it can be a very, very useful target. And, of course, you can also give it away on the websites that I have for giving books away free as PDFs. One of them is called freebooksforall.com, which is all nonfiction books. And then there's another one called allbooksfree.com, which features novels, short stories, poems, and children's books.
Mm-hmm. So, by the way, just so folks realize, part of the Real Fast Book Training, we do an entire module on I'm talking about this, the exact specifics of taking your book and getting it up on Kindle. Of course, that's not primarily what Real Fast Book is all about, but we do have a module on that. I wanted to interject.
Oh, that's good. That's actually very good, because Kindle is, you know, one of the top two platforms right now. The other one's going to be the Apple iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's cool. Mm-hmm. So let's go on to point number four. And this is sort of a highfalutin one, you could say, because it's get on the national TV show. And, you know, generally speaking, you get on Today's Show or Oprah or something like that, it takes months and months of work. But if you can tie your book into a current news event, like the oil spill in the Gulf, you could get on TV within days. And that's why I included in this Real Fast book marketing section, because a national TV show will book very quickly if you can tie into a current news event. So always be on the watch out for any kind of current news event where you could tie your book into it. Then you have to, of course, send out a good press release to all the national TV shows, letting them know that you have something to say about that. And a good resource for that is the TV directory that Bradley Communications puts out. And you can find that at tvprguys.com. TVPRGUYS.com.
Great.
And it's a very good database of all the national TV shows with all the contact names and what they look for and things like that. Not just news shows, but also talk shows and some magazine shows. So it's a good thing. And the thing is that if it's a hot topic, they're always looking for new guests, new people, especially somebody who's written a book, because obviously that establishes your credibility, your expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the key thing is to act fast. Be one of the first people to tie into that current news event. But again, you got something like the oil spill that now has gone on for almost 2 months or month and a half at least. It's going to be in the news for a while yet. So, you know, if you had an ecology book, or if you had a book on, well, for example, I could see you doing a book on any book on politics, because clearly Obama is being criticized for not being very effective in responding to the crisis. And you can go pro con that. You can defend him or you can slam him. That's up to you. Depending on what your book's thesis is in terms of how government works. You could do the same thing with a business. In other words, how does business work? Because you could easily, besides criticizing the government, you could easily criticize BP. And you could talk about why we need to have a change in how corporations go about doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's lots of ways to tie into a current news event. If you had a novel about the evils of corporate culture, you could perhaps get piggybacked into a news story somewhere. So there's lots of opportunities for something like that, depending on the current news event. I'm not sure what other current... I'm trying to think of other... Well, there was a volcanic ash that was going in from Iceland that shut down air traffic over Europe. That would have been an interesting one if you had anything to do with airplanes,
mm-hmm.
Whether they were hobby airplanes or anything like that, because you could talk about what it means to fly in low visibility situations, mm-hmm. or what it means to fly where there's a lot of ash, which it could damage your engines. And then you could even, if you had a book about cars and what it means to have dirt in the engines of cars, you know, dirty oil or something like that, that, again, would tie into the dirty ashes and how they affect airplane engines. So there's lots of ways to tie in and be very serious.
Yeah, in fact, like you're suggesting, the link need only be tangential.
Yes, it just has to be something that's close enough that it would interest the media as a, you know, an angle for that. Because certainly, you know, you could easily talk about with the Gulf oil spill, what it means to lose your job because of something outside your control. And, you know, there's hundreds of people, thousands of people that are losing their jobs right now because of the oil spill, because certain things can't be done and things like that. What does that mean? What's the impact on the family and so on? So the media love tangential stories to that because then they usually have an exclusive because the media, all media are covering the oil spill, but not everybody's covering what is the impact on people's jobs in that area. If you have a travel book about Florida, what is the impact on travel? How is it going to impact or will it impact people going to Orlando? I know, having been around some oil spills in the past, that oil spills can smell for many, many miles. And if it ever hits the beach of you know, the Florida beach, will the smell affect Orlando and Disney World and so on? So, I mean, there's lots of different angles that you can use to tie into a news story and get on national TV. And you want to, if possible, get on national TV. A secondary approach would be to get interviewed for a story in one of the national news magazines like Time or Newsweek, which, again, would be covering the oil spill.
Gotcha.
Okay, let's go on to number five. We've got a couple more. One is to advertise in shelf awareness. Shelf awareness is an email newsletter that goes out daily to all the people in the book trade. Anybody can sign up, but the key people that watch it every day are people that are booksellers or decision makers in the publishing industry. Now, advertising and shelf awareness can be expensive, but it's still a very, very useful tool because everybody reads it, and they, you know, so they read it a lot. So it's a very good way to get immediate impression in a very quick thing, because you can turn around an ad in shelf awareness in a few days and get featured. What they do is display ads. So you'd have to create a little bit of a display ad, but that could be very, very effective for you. And just Google shelf awareness to find out how to connect with them. But that can be very effective, but it is expensive. That's going to cost you probably anywhere from $200 to $1,000 or more, depending on the positioning and the size of the ad. But if you're in a hurry, it can be very effective to help you get bookstore distribution, get the awareness of some of the top decision makers in the publishing industry. Let's say that you published your novel as a POD and you're hoping to sell the rights to somebody else. That can be very effective. A cheaper way to advertise, and this is point number six, is to advertise on Google AdWords. You just go to google.com and you go into their business solutions. So if you go to your Google page, and you just go to google.com, you'll see down at the bottom. You can do this also with Bing or Yahoo or other places. But usually in Google, there'll be down at the bottom, there'll be advertising programs and business solutions. And you can, I think it's advertising programs where you can find out how to advertise on Google using Google AdWords. The neat thing about Google AdWords is you can use it to test. In other words, you can try an ad and send it to, you know, to traffic to your website and see how many books you sell through that ad. And you can limit your exposure. So you can bid anywhere from 5 cents to $5 for one exposure. Now, obviously, if you've got a $10 book, you're not going to bid $5. You're going to bid somewhere under a dollar at most. And hopefully you can get maybe a long-tail keyword for Google AdWords, something like the Battle of New Orleans, that may only sell for 10 cents. And then for every time somebody clicks on your ad, you pay Google 10 cents. And the neat thing, though, again, is you can limit your exposure. You can tell Google, don't do more than $10 an hour a day or $50 in a month, so that you can test it and see if the ad is working. Is it driving traffic? And more important, is it generating sales? And then you can find out whether or not it pays off. So you can do it for very low cost. You can put up an AdWord campaign today just by going to Google AdWords and signing up. So you could be testing it and selling books right away today with Google AdWords. And the thing is, you do want to test it. If one ad isn't working, you try another one. And for somebody who has a novel, let's say you have a thriller, sort of a legal thriller, sort of in the tradition of John Grisham. Well, buy John Grisham's name on Google AdWords, and then put in an ad that says something like, if you liked Grisham's Time to Kill, check out John Kramer's Time to Spill, you know, whatever your novel is. You know, I didn't write that book. There isn't a book called Time to Spill, I don't think. But you want to do something like that where you have a connection, where people have some sort of connection. So you try to find keywords that will actually attract the kind of people that would be interested in your book, and then test the ads until you find an ad that works, that drives traffic to your website and makes sales.
Gotcha.
So those are the six things that I wanted to cover today. There are many other things that you can do within 2 weeks of your book's publication date, but many of those require up to 6 months of planning before you can carry them out. Amazon bestseller campaigns take 2 to 3 months to do well. National book tours can take 3 to 6 months to set up. Blog tours take 2 to 3 months to set up. Magazine PR takes 6 months. Bookstore distribution takes a long time. Catalog sales, rights sales, speaking tours all take time to build up. And there are a lot of other techniques that can help you to sell a lot of books in 2 weeks, but they take a lot more time to plan. What we're going to do in our Real Fast Book Marketing course is we're going to talk a lot more about how to organize some of those things while you're writing your book, so that when your book is done, the rest of the campaign takes 2 weeks to make the sale.
Yeah, John, you might want to tell folks, because I don't think we've really told folks on this call what we have in mind.
Well, we're going to work together to create an incredible program. I think are we going to combine your Real Fast book with the Real Fast Book Marketing?
That is yet to be seen.
Okay, or we'll sell them separately, because you probably want both at some point, because you'll want the Real Fast book to get a book done fast. But while you're getting that book done fast, you want to be working on your Real Fast Book Marketing ideas to get those done. And so that when your book is ready to launch, you got everything in place to carry on an Amazon bestseller campaign. You have magazine PR already in place. You got bookstore distribution or whatever distribution you're going to use. You already got the relationships to have a blog tour, and all the things that can be done, and selling your book within 2 weeks of your publication date. The six things that I talked about today, from start to finish, could be done in 2 weeks. Some of the other things take a little bit of planning, but can be done while you're writing your book.
Beautiful.
And it's going to be fun, because it's the kind of thing where I really want to tell people how they can sell books and sell them in a fast way, because so many, you know, emails I get from people all the time is, you know, I've had my book out for 2 years or 6 months, and I sold, you know, 300 copies or even worse in some cases, and then they bemoan the fact, and I'm going, but there's so many ways you could be selling that book and doing it fast. In fact, I just had an email from somebody, I had a series of emails from somebody, and he keeps complaining that the book isn't selling, and he says it's connected up with, he's connected, and I wrote to him and said, well, you've got to connect with the high-traffic websites. And he says, well, I did that, And then he tells me what websites he connected with, and I'm going, he didn't do that. He didn't even begin to do it. He paid to be listed on a couple websites, and that's what he considered his high-traffic websites. And I'm going, he didn't create relationships. He tried to buy relationships. It's much better to create relationships because that's free rather than buying relationships. And quite honestly, most websites that charge you for listings don't have the traffic.
That's
just
right.
Check out the website on Alexa.com and see what kind of traffic they have.
Yep.
And in most cases, it's not going to be very good.
Yeah, and I wanted to make sure before we finish up today that that I tell folks to head on over to 10millioneyeballs.com because that's John's course, basically where he shows you how to use the internet to market and sell more of your books. And, you know, I think it's undisputed, at least by anyone I ever talked to, that John is the absolute master at marketing your books. And through the internet, this 10 million eyeballs training is really the cat's meow when it comes to if you're serious. Now, if you're just kicking it around, if you're just hoping, but if you really want to take some drastic action to sell lots and lots of your books, this is a great course, and I want to commend it to you.
Yeah. In fact, in lesson one, it's all about how to create relationships with high traffic websites.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 6 hours of videos telling you step by step, taking you through the process, watching me do it online. To see how to go about creating relationships, how to find the right websites, and then how to go about creating relationships with them. The next four lessons in the series give you four of the best ways to get millions of people to know about you and your book online. And I called it 10 Million Eyeballs for a reason. I believe that if you follow the examples I give there, you will actually get 10 million impressions within the first 2 years of doing the things that I recommend there. But Daniel, I wanted to let people know that I am doing a live version of the seminar.
Oh, do tell.
In California on Saturday the 26th and Sunday the 27th, and it's going to be in Carlsbad, California.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. And so how can folks find out about that?
Go to 10millioneyeballs.com. In fact, that's what's being promoted on that site right now.
Okay, great.
But if you sign, you can still sign up for the Carlsbad seminar with that link, and you will get the entire online course as well, the self-study online course. So you don't have to attend the live event, but if you'd like to come and in 2 days learn everything I know about internet marketing and how to do it well, you can come to the live event. So that's coming up in a week and a half. So,
excellent, excellent. Well,
but
folks,
you can still sign up if you and you can still take the self-study course if you can't make the live event.
And I want to just tell folks too, if you're serious about cranking out a book real fast, and I'm not talking about in months or years like most authors take to do it. I'm talking about days or weeks. The system we have set up for you over at realfastbook.com is basically it's the answer to your prayers, okay? Because in this system, I actually take folks step by step through the process. It's basically 6 months of intense hands-on training that discusses not only how to write a book that people want, which is a very important thing, how to go about titling it, but actually how to write it quickly, how to produce it quickly, and then there's a lot of stuff on how to go about marketing the book so that you sell it not just today, but setting it up so that it sells years into the future. And that is available. You can actually get started for only $7. It's a trial, 14-day trial membership. I believe it gets you your first three lessons, and it's $37 a month thereafter for up to 6 months for as long as you want to stay.
But you could certainly kick the tires. You could see. You could figure out whether it's for you, and whether or not you like it, and whether you're going to be able to work with it for $7. And if you do that over at realfastbook.com. I wanted to announce one other thing that for folks that are especially that came to today's webinar tomorrow. Excuse me. On Friday, I am doing a members only coaching just for folks in the Real Fast Book community, where we're going to I'm actually going to take you in a venue just like this on a webinar, and I'm going to show you how to do the book marketing portion of it, but with your topics, okay? When we're going to drill down, I'm going to show you all the resources that I use and the process that I use to do it. Now, that is part of the training already in realfastbook.com, but if you want hands-on application in your own specific circumstance, okay, don't miss the training that's coming up on Friday, and that's for members only. So you need to head on over to realfastbook.com and do that. Before then, obviously. Better.
Daniel, you inspired me.
Great.
If people buy the 10millioneyeballs.com in the next 3 days and then email me that they heard about it here, I will give them the bonus of my New York Times bestseller program.
Yay.
How to create a New York Times bestseller. That's something that I sold for $500 a couple years ago. It's still very valuable information, and I will give it away free to people who sign up from this webinar in the next 3 days. So if you sign up before, well, let's give it a date. Let's say that if you sign up by the 20th, I will give you, so that's more than 3 days, but June 20th, 2010, you can get the bonus of the New York Times bestseller program.
Excellent.
And I wanted to say something about your real fast book. So many people take so long to write a book because they try to make the book too big. So like my 700-page 1,001 Ways to Market Your Books. But, a lot of people nowadays love short books, and so it's even easier to write a book fast because you don't have to write a big book. It can be a 96-page book or a 120-page book or a 160-page book. It doesn't have to be 300 pages, especially if you're selling it online as a print-on-demand or as a Kindle book or something like that.
Exactly right. And by the way, thank you for saying that, but the fact of the matter is that so much of the Real Fast Book program is about getting that out quickly. For example, one module is just on getting the exact steps for getting your book up on Kindle, and that is a huge marketplace, and it's growing daily. I'm real excited about this. I love this stuff.
That's great.
Okay, folks, are you...
And then we're going to let people know when we get the Real Fast Book Marketing all in place.
Yes, we will definitely... We'll have a launch on that and let folks know. John, are you open to taking questions?
Sure.
Okay. So, folks, so there's an area on the one side where you can actually type your questions in. I've already got a few here. Let me get started with that. Teresa has asked, whenever you get to, all right, based on the result, that is the result back at, let me see if I can go back over there. Okay. By the way, Tim Tapp wants to know what your email address is, okay? Tim wants to know so he can send you confirmation of the purchase of your program.
Oh, it's John Kramer at bookmarket.com.
There you go.
And Kramer is spelled K-R-E-M-E-R.
Right. All right, so let me go back here so we can answer Teresa's question. She was the first to ask. Let's see. We're going to go back here. And let me go up here to my fancy slides. And there we go. Let's see.
And we're going to go from current slide. There we go. All right. So what Teresa has asked is whether I would write a book based on these results on Google. And the answer is that just lets me know that there is a big enough market there that I might even want to drill down a little bit further. The reason being, and this, of course, is one of the reasons why we sort of dissect the nuances of doing the this market research work, is this may be actually too many, okay, to have any traction. So we may want to drill down a little bit more. Maybe Battle of New Orleans, General Jackson, for example. Maybe that's a more specific keywords. But what I'm looking for here is are there people searching daily? You know, that's 2,000 people a day or 2,100 people a day. Days click by and people continue to search for this thing. I think if I were interested in writing a book on it, I would actually be really, 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 really excited about that particular search term and maybe adding and focusing it a little bit more. I hope that answers your question there, Teresa.
And that then in Google AdWords means that there's also 2,000 potential people clicking through just from Google searches if you bought the key term Battle of New Orleans. But again, if your book was specifically about Andrew Jackson at the Battle of New Orleans, you might even put that in and see how many people are looking for Andrew Jackson at the Battle of New Orleans.
Exactly. Okay, and Bob asks, is there a master list of publishers for nonfiction authors also listing the acquisitions editor contact info? This is Bob.
Well, actually, I have a list for a number of different categories of nonfiction on my website at bookmarket.com. I list business editors, and each of these lists has somewhere between 100 and 500 editors, acquisition editors, at major publishers. So I have first novels, that's fiction, obviously. I have 400 editors who have bought a first novel in the last 3 years. But I also have sections for business editors, cookbook editors, sports book editors, humor and reference book editors, religion and spiritual editors, and health book editors.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So that gives you, if your book is in those categories, there's a list on my website. So if you go to bookmarket.com and scroll down on the first page, you'll see links to all of those pages.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you.
And it's probably the best list out there because it's a relatively current list, and it lists names. I rarely list just a publisher without an editor's name there.
Great. Okay. Thank you, John. Next question is from David, and he asks, which ebook format is most successful for fiction, and what do you think specifically of Smashwords?
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think Kindle right now is still it's got the biggest audience. So I would do Kindle format first. But if I had a second choice, I would go and get an EPUB version of it, which is what the Apple iPad uses. Mm-hmm. Smashwords is a good service. It's a good company. I've never heard anything bad about it. I've heard a lot of good things about it. So it's certainly one way to get up on a lot of those different ebook formats. Infinity Publishing also has a program to translate your book, fiction or nonfiction, into all the different ebook formats for one low price. And then they'll market it as well. They'll get it distributed and listed at all these places. Then you get, with Infinity Publishing, you pay $200 to set up, and then you get 70% of the royalties from then on.
Gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Excellent. All right. Katressa asked if one has a book that might tie in with a national story, where is the best place to start letting the right people know about it? I'll let you field that one, John.
Well, the best place is to go direct to the different TV shows or magazines that you want to reach and contact them directly. So TVPRguys.com if you want to buy that database of the national TV shows. Now, if you want to, and you could test this, you could use something like PR Newswire to send out a press release that goes out to a lot of people that are interested in tracking different news stories and things like that. And you could test that. It costs some money to send it out through them. But that might also work. There are also a whole bunch of free online PR services that allow you to send out news releases to people who sign up and so on. And you can go to bookmarket.com/onlinepr.htm to find a list of those. There's about 100 or 200 on that list.
Great.
And most of them have a free version, and then they have an upgraded pay version.
Great.
You can always test with the free version.
And why not? I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yes.
To give it a go. All right. Robert asks, Robert, this is the end of the webinar. It actually started at 12 noon Mountain Time. Okay. Sorry about that.
We're going to have this recorded, right?
Yes, we are recording this, and we will make it available, Robert, and you should get an email in a day or two when it's available. Okay, so you'll be able to.
Yeah, because I'm going to want to email all my people.
Okay. Okay, great. All right. Eileen asks, does it have to be a soft cover or hard cover, or is soft cover just fine? I have some thoughts on this, and it depends on where you want to sell the book, but I have found that trade paperbacks do just fine. Again, depending on the book and what you intend to do with it. But to me, soft cover is cool.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that for most books, soft cover is fine. Now, if you have a really important social issues book or business book and you want to do the hardcover presentation of it because you're going to sell it through bookstores, that's fine. But the reality is, you know, 20% of books now are sold through online stores, and people don't care in that case whether it's hardcover or softcover. They don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're more interested in the information or entertainment value of the book. Hardcover is more important if it's a book that you're going to release through bookstores and you're really working hard to make it a New York Times bestseller or something like that. But again, it depends on the category. Most self-help books are trade paperback, and to do a hardcover version of it when you're not well known would be stupid.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Let's see. I hope that answers your question there, Eileen. Greg asks, what's the legality of doing something like talking about Britney or having someone else's video running in the background? I probably should handle that. If it's a public figure that you're talking about, it's fair game. It's my understanding. Understand too that I never really, although I still have a license to practice law, I don't, and I never really got into that or had much interest in developing that area of my practice when I was actually doing that. But again, if they're a public figure, generally speaking, they're fair game.
And in terms of the videos, if you use somebody else's video and put your own copy over it or something like that, for the most part, it's not been a problem. It's not been an issue on YouTube. The worst that can usually happen is that somebody persuades YouTube to take your video down.
Right.
I haven't heard of any legal case where people have been sued and it's cost any amount of money.
Right.
In most cases, they ask it to be taken down, and then that's it.
And it's taken down.
And that's happened to some videos. It definitely has. There was a time when the Susan Boyle, sang her first time on the British Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent. At some point, there were, hundreds of people that put up that video because they were all inspired by it. But the company that owns Britain's Got Talent convinced YouTube to take them all down and only leave up the official one. Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, a lot of those people got 2,000, 10,000, 100,000 views until that happened.
Right. Sometimes, you know, this is not my official legal stance, but sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. But, all right, let's see. Connie, let's see. She says, hi, John and Daniel, great program. Well, thank you, Connie. You gave great resources. Yes, we will be replaying this, I hope. And then she says, I'd like to refer people again to my Write a Book Before You Die blog and to Facebook and Twitter. Also, is it possible to get a list of all the cool sites, extension, et cetera, you mentioned as well? This is, and I'm confused. When does this program you're doing together begin? Need details to tell people about it. Well, we'll make sure we let you know, Connie. Okay, because because I'm traveling so much. How many months did we try to put this on, John?
It's been about 3 or 4 months since we did the first version of this.
Yeah. So we'll get it out when we can. That's,
we'll let everybody know when we do get it out, and we will have an affiliate program with it. So if you want to recommend it to other people, that'll be fine. And I'm doing a poll right now on Twitter because Connie has two versions of her blog. They both go to the same place. One is writeabookbeforeyoudie.com, and the other one is helpforauthors.com. And I asked people, which one would you click on first? And so far, I think...
Who's winning? Which one's winning?
writeabookbeforeyoudie.com.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's getting 70% of the vote. And that's the one I like best because it really says, you know, I think it meets a need, you know, because there are a lot of people that are sitting around and waiting, and they're always sort of going, I need to write that book before I die. You know, they're always thinking about that. Because there are a lot of older people who are writing memoirs and things like that. And so I think it really appeals to people because it says, do it now before you die. You never know when you're going to die.
That's
right. Help for Authors is neat. It says something, but it's kind of generic. Uh-huh. It's almost, and it's very forgettable. It's easy to forget that one. So I like writeabookbeforeyoudie.com personally. But I did survey it. I wanted to see what people would say on that. So that's been kind of fun to run that. And I'm doing it through TwitPoll.
So, okay, cool. Excellent. I'm gonna have to give that a look. All right, then, folks. Let's see.
So I put it in my newsletter, and I also put it in I tweeted it a number of times, so... I wanted to get it what it was. And if you want to go vote, you go to twitpoll.com. Twit is TWT poll, POLL.com. And then to vote on this particular one, you have to go twitpoll.com/MDX2NY. And right now we've had about 137 people vote, and 68% are voting for writeabookbeforeyoudie.com.
There you go. Interesting. All right. Teresa has a question. She asks, I'm not sure I understand this this question, Teresa. I might do teacher's aids and student helps with that topic. Not quite sure.
She's adding, it sounds like, supplemental materials to a book that she's writing.
Yes. Okay. Great.
If that's the case, that's a good idea.
It is indeed. Follow up with a question if that doesn't hit it there, Teresa. All right. Eileen asks, how many books should we print during the first run? My answer to that is one. Okay. You're with print on demand. You could basically do one book. And that's it. In fact, that's sort of one of my claims to fame is using the system we set up at Real Fast Book. You can do the whole book. I'm talking about the typesetting, the cover design, all of that for $20 or less, and have that one book printed so that, you know,
it doesn't matter if you have a lot of books. I mean, unless you want to have a lot of books, you know, say you're a speaker or you want to do some book signing events or something like that. But what matters is that the public can actually buy your book, okay? So that it's available up on Amazon and in bookstores, etc. If that's the way you want to go. Okay, so I hope that answers your question there.
Print on demand and doing one book at a time, it's a really good way to test a market without a lot of upfront expense. If you know that you have a market for 500 or 1,000 books, you could print that many. I usually tell people if they're going to print offset and they want to have, you know, a number of books on hand, don't print more than 1,000 to begin with, because you're going to want to change your book. I guarantee you.
Guaranteed.
Something wrong with the cover, something wrong with the title, you had too many typos in it. There's all kinds of reasons why you don't want to have a big investment in stock of books because you're going to want to make a change. So print on demand is a great way to test a book, get all the kinks out of it, and get a feeling for how many books you're going to sell each month, and then you might go to offset printing with more quantity. But the cost of print-on-demand in terms of printing is so much lower than it was even 5 or 10 years ago that it doesn't make sense in most cases not to use print-on-demand.
Yep, I completely agree. Okay, I hope that answers your question there, Eileen. Connie asks one more question. Do you know of an inexpensive transcription service? Someone just asked me that the other day, too. Okay, well, I mean, I don't know what you consider inexpensive, Connie, but there are all kinds of services available. Usually they're, I believe, like $65, $70 per hour of audio is how I remember it being. One of the folks that I send folks to is at transcribeyourbook.com. That's Cindy McLean. And what I like about Cindy is she is a little bit more expensive, but she is, first off, a native English speaker. And she really, really knows how to do transcriptions very, very quickly, very, very accurately. And if she has questions, you know, she'll say, you know, she'll actually ask the questions, and you can, you know, get that part of the into your book very, very quickly. So it's I believe it's transcribeyourbook.com. That's not an affiliate link, by the way. That's her site, and I send folks there all the time.
There's also idictate.com where you can get a free trial, and they do it very cheaply, but there's going to be errors in it. You'll have to read it and to be very clear on it. And you're going to want to edit almost any transcribed book anyway.
Yes, you will.
But idictate.com is one where you can upload it, and then, right away you can start to generate things. And they charge... they charge 1.25 cents per word.
There you go, 1.25 cents. Okay, David asks, is there a specific service that formats for Kindle? David, well, here's the thing. Like we teach at realfastbook.com, you actually can format it yourself without a whole bunch of hassle using things like MS Word is how I usually do it. I use basic MS Word 2007 edition. I think any MS Word version will do. But that's what I specifically use, and I do it myself. I don't know of any specific service that will format the book for Kindle specifically. Do you, John?
Well, again, Infinity Publishing will format it for all the different ebook versions for $200.
There you go.
But you can always Google Kindle formatting services, and you'll find a whole bunch of them up and running now.
Okay.
So you can shop around if you want.
And if you want to do it yourself, again, MS Word.
And you teach how to do that step by step.
Exactly. We teach you precisely how to go about doing that. Okay. Oh, and David asked another question here. Any thoughts about the future impact of iPad? I'm going to let you handle that one.
It's big. It's going to be big. The things that you'll be able to do with the iPad, because the iPad's ebook format allows for audio and video as well. So it's going to really change the dynamics of how a book, what a book is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going that direction. And the thing is that it's in color. So it's going to change things too, because the Kindle, again, it's just black and white right now. That's going to change again. But and you also have Apple marketing it. And Apple, as everybody will tell you, is cool. You know, so it's going to just get hotter and hotter. It's going to be a big thing. So it's just going to make things bigger and bigger.
Excellent. Okay. Hope that answers your question there, David. All right. Katressa says, thank you for your time, Daniel and John. This is valuable, awesome info. Well, thank you. I hope you've enjoyed it and got a lot out of it, Katressa. Okay. Teresa asked a follow-up question. Do you have information about viewing past webinars? Well, I do. In Real Fast Book, there's a bunch of past webinars that I've posted, in there. But this is the first webinar that John and I have done. That's being recorded. So, and you'll get a link to that. Okay, Teresa. Tim asks, or actually, he says, I vote for write a book before I die. Okay. so does Dan H. He says the same thing.
Who's
all right,
Dan H.
Daniel. Yeah, no, not me. I don't know.
it's not you. Okay.
Not me. No. Let's see. Dan, I've been talking about my book and title for a while, and now someone has taken the domain name site. Okay, well, what you might want to do, Eileen, is you might want to put a "the" in front of it. So it'd be the book title,
or book at the end,
or put the word book at the end. Those are some. Potentials.
But the key thing is that if you've got a good book title, get the URL right away. Don't even talk to anybody about it until you have the URL.
Exactly.
Because it's so valuable. And if you wait, even if somebody hasn't heard about you, somebody's going to end up taking that URL at some point, because there's people that sit on URLs and wait for somebody hungry enough to buy it from them.
Exactly. Exactly, and so also
I won't do a book until I have the title. I have the URL. Because that's the only way to do it. You want to own the URL and you want the .com version of it. Now you can always, of course, go to the .info version or something like that, but then you'll be sending traffic to the other person's website.
Yeah, I wanted to give folks this little story of. Let's see. Why isn't that showing up? Hold on. Interesting. Well, at any rate, this site here, I'm not sure why it's not loading at the present time, but this site here, Adjunct Teaching Online, that is my site with a partner, and I actually use the keyword research tool here to figure out that this was a great that particular sequence of keywords were being searched really regularly, and I have a product out there, and so I use this service, this SEO books, to actually pick my domain names based on what people are actually searching for. So I wanted to tell folks about that. All right, that's Teresa. That was about the Battle of the New Orange, Narrowing the Tip. All right, we did that. I have used, Teresa says, I have used Wes Scribit, WESCRIBIT.com with good success. I think that must be a transcription service. Okay, thank you for that.
And I just wanted to let people know, I just double-checked, we have realfastbookmarketing.com.
Yes, we do have.
And right now, Dan has a placeholder on there just selling his cruise ship information until we get our own program up there.
Exactly. Okay. Eileen,
you got the URL. You might as well be selling something until we get the full program up.
Precisely right. Yeah, absolutely, baby. All right. Eileen says, I feel one should not talk about their book till it has a domain finished and then go to press. Okay. I don't have any qualms with that, Eileen. And then Eileen also says, we already have an iPad and it is fantastic. Okay, great. Okay. Arun asks, which software would you recommend to transcribe dictated recorded words into a script on the computer? Well, of course, there's Dragon Naturally Speaking. I haven't had a huge amount of success trying to use that, but have you had a different...
No, that's one I have too, and it's acceptable. You can use it if you train it, but you do have to spend time training it to your voice.
There you go. Okay.
And again, with any transcribing that's done sort of automated like that, you're going to have to do a certain amount of editing.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Which software? Okay, we already answered that one. All right. Okay, no problem, Daniel. Eileen is off to get her book domain right now. Good for you, Eileen. Good, good. All right. Sherry says, can you suggest an ebook publisher that deals in photography books? That's what Sherry's asking. Ebook publisher. Well, if you're publishing an ebook, usually I just do it myself.
Right.
But you have any thoughts on this, John?
No, I mean, the translation of a PDF or a Word document to an ebook version doesn't really matter that much whether or not it's photography or not. The only exception to that depends on how high quality the photography is. But I don't know which companies to use for something like that. And so you might want to start with the Kindle version following Dan's instructions in realfastbook.com.
There you go. Okay. Hope that answers your question, Sherry. Katressa asked a really good question here, and this will be our last question, folks. Where is the best place to check if your book title is already taken? I suppose what you're talking about there is the domain name. I would just simply go to your browser, open up the browser, and type in whatever domain you're thinking about typing or taking, and see if there's a site there. Do you have any other thoughts on that?
Well, no? Then again, you can go to any of the web systems that sell domain names. Right now, I'm going blank on them. I use oneandone.com. That's my website host, and I can buy my domain names right through them, and it's real simple. So I can check for any domain names very quickly through them, but. There are a number of different services you can use to find out if the domain name is available and in what formats. Because sometimes if you type it in to the browser, and you'll come up with vague information, like it's not clear if it's somebody owns it or not. But if you go to one of the domain name registers, you'll know whether or not somebody owns the domain.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you can type in Google and look up a domain name registers, and they'll tell you. Because there's one that I know a lot of people use, and I'm just going blank on the name of it.
You're talking about GoDaddy, I think is what you're probably
GoDaddy,
thinking of.
GoDaddy, that's it. That's
mm-hmm.
the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Because that's a cool name. I like that one.
Yeah, it is actually nice. And by the way, I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
Oh, I was just going to go back to the last question, which was what again? There was something I was going to recommend to people.
Unfortunately, as I go through them, I get rid of them. I delete them so that I don't
okay.
see it at all.
There was something I was going to say, and I just can't remember what it was now. It was on the tip of my tongue, and then it went away. Oh, well.
By the way, Teresa says instantdomainsearch.com is nice. That's what she is saying.
Okay.
Thank you, Teresa. Also, Katressa is saying that not the domain, I actually mean the book title itself. Okay, Katressa. The best place to check if the book title is already taken.
Amazon.com.
Amazon, yeah.
Amazon has almost every title that you could think of. So if you're, you know, and the reality is that unless the title is a trademark, you can use the same title as somebody else. You couldn't do that with Gone with the Wind. If you're going to write a novel called Gone with the Wind, I guarantee you that there'll be people suing you. But there was a famous quote from Shakespeare, "Death be not proud." Well, there's about 10 books called Death Be Not Proud, all with the same title. Now, I wouldn't recommend that because you don't want to be sending traffic to a different book.
Right.
And the thing is that when I search book titles, I want to own it everywhere. So I actually look in 5 different places. I look on Amazon to see if somebody has the book title already. I look on a lyrics website like, I think, lyricsworld.com or something like that, where I can find out if anybody's used it as a song title. I go to imdb.com, the Internet Movie Database, imdb.com, to check to see if any TV show or movie has that title, because I don't want to compete with them. Then I go to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, uspto.gov, and I check to see if somebody's trademarked the title. And then finally I go to Google and find out if the URL is available.
Wow, that's a really good little list that you just ticked off there.
That's especially important if I'm doing a trademark. I really want to own it. So then I want to make sure that nobody anywhere has used it in some way that will compete with me.
Excellent. Excellent. Contressa asked the question, what is the best way to protect my idea that I'm recruiting contributing authors for an anthology series? Do you have any thoughts on that?
The ideas you can't protect. You can only protect expressions of the idea. So you can protect the title through trademark. You can protect the book itself through copyright. But in terms of the idea, somebody could run with it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have any way to protect it. You only have a way to protect the expression of it.
Although I'm doing so is highly unlikely. It's been in my experience. I mean,
most people aren't going to steal your idea. That's been my experience.
Yeah.
If it's very, very cool and unique and you're taking forever to get it done and somebody says, wow, that is so good, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, there's Johnny Gray. You know, people talk about men are from Mars, women are from Venus. He basically stole the title from somebody else who was using it in one of their speeches. But they never got around to writing a book about it, so he wrote a book about it.
Yeah, now he's the one known for it.
Yep.
There you go. And Katressa says, great, thank you so much. By the way, John, I love your 1001 Ways to Market Books. And I commend it to everyone on this webinar that hasn't read that book. It's excellent. Daniel, you rock too. Thank you. This has been a valuable use of my time today. Well, I'm so glad of that, Katressa. All right, folks, have any final words, John?
No. Well, the key thing is don't sit around forever getting a book done. And it doesn't have to be perfect because with the new technology, you can always update it. If you go print-on-demand version, you can change the book every week if you want to. It'll cost you some money every time you make a change. But the reality is that, you know, get a book done. Get it out there. Don't try to make it perfect. Perfect is for later.
That's right. Well, actually, like my friend Rita Emmett says, she says, you know, you want to give up on the idea of perfection, but always strive for excellence. I think that's a really good way of...
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
And then I like the blue-collar comedy group who says, get her done.
Get her done. Get her done. All right, folks. Well, until next time, I'm encouraging you to head on over to 10millioneyeballs.com. John's got an excellent special going on there. And you want to tell folks again what the offer is at 10millioneyeballs.com, John?
Well, it teaches it basically. I'm giving it either as a live seminar or as a chance to take the online stuff self-study version of it, and it's $297. It's normally $500 for that program. And the neat thing is that if you order before the 20th and you email me at johncramer@bookmarket.com, I will add on the $500 program that I sold for the How to Create a New York Times bestseller.
Beautiful, beautiful. And for those folks that are in the book writing stage, or you're thinking about cranking out a book, the program to be in is realfastbook.com. And what's really, really good about your timing here is that if you get in before this Friday, I'm doing a open coaching webinar series, just like we're doing here, except I'm taking your specific ideas, and we're going to drill down using this tool and a number of others that I use, and we're going to get to the bottom of whether your book idea has some commercial viability or not, so that you know, hey, I'm building my house on rock, or whether you're building your house on sand, okay? So that is that's coming up here. So if you're interested in doing that, head on over to realfastbook.com. Get started with the $7 trial, and I don't know of a better way to get training from me for $7, but that's a way to do it. Okay, all right. Until next time, John. Thank you so much for taking your very valuable time to do that, and for everyone that's on the webinar today. We had a really pretty good showing for the short time frame that we had announced this. Thank you for taking your time. We appreciate you very, very much. And both John and I both know that our success in our business is directly hinged to yours. That's why we are so interested in seeing to your success. So until next time, this is Daniel Hall saying God bless.